to the new norm around here. Don't be coming to church thinking you're going to leave looking pretty. We're going to leave looking messed up with our makeup running and your tie over here and your hair messed up and your hair done did. That's the new normal at the POPC. Because when we get here, we're going to know God's in the midst. Anybody in here not feel God? Is there anybody in here you say, I cannot feel God? I feel Him moving all through this house. Like the old songwriter used to say, I feel Him in my hands. I feel Him in my feet. Lord God, somebody, I feel Him all over me. Can I get a witness in the house from somebody? And I can tell you this, it feels real good. Matter of fact, it's the best thing I've felt in a long time since I was in the house of God last Sunday. Because can't nobody do you like Jesus can do you. Nobody can touch you like Jesus can touch you. And nobody can heal you like Jesus can heal you. Oh, God is good. And as Brother Harper said, my faith is stretched out. And I'm hanging on to what God has said. I done got me a journal. Listen, Habakkuk said, write it down. Listen to me. Everybody in here needs to get a journal. And you need to write down what you're believing. Listen to me. Write down what you're believing God to restore back to your life this year. Don't just say, oh, well, this is what I want. Write it down. Habakkuk said, write it down and make it plain. And when it looks like that's not going to happen, you look at what you wrote. Because sometimes the journey gets a little challenging. And sometimes in the journey, it don't look like it's going to happen. But God has a way of making the journey look like that. Just so you'll know at the end of the journey, it wasn't nobody but God. So you go ahead and write it down. And you make it plain. And you look at it every day. My kids are coming home. My body will be healed. Our church is going to grow. I'm coming out of this trial. I'm getting out of debt. You write it down. You write it down for you. I got back from Atlanta on Wednesday, and we were just fixing to pull in, and I got a call from Bishop Sims, and he was coming up through this way. Met me and my wife for dinner at Applebee's, and it was very encouraging, very good. And he told me, he said, listen, he said, this that has come unto you is not unto death. He said, this is for a purpose. He said, this is going to be advantageous to many people. He said, so you relax, get you a journal, and you just write everything down. He said, because God's fixing to take you on a spiritual journey, and He's going to show you some things that He never would have been able to show you before. And I'm thinking, well, I could have come up with a way He could have did it a little different myself, but I receive what you say. And I can't tell you, I've got a journal in the amount of words from God that have been given to me by various people. And I have wrote them down. And me and Jose were talking before service. And we were talking about this on Wednesday night. Then we got to talking on service before service. You know, Peter didn't walk on water. Everybody stumped. Peter didn't walk on water. Peter walked on the Word. He had a word from God that said, come. And he walked on what God said. Because you can't walk on water. But if God says, come, and water's there, you can walk on the water then, because you're walking on what He said. And as long as you got a word from God, you walk on that word. And like Brother Harper said, I've got a word, and I'm mingling my faith with it. Come on, somebody. Woo! what God is going to do in this church. Remember I said this. Remember I said this today, but months down the road, it's going to re-identify this church in this community. Watch what I'm telling you. Give the Lord a good hand clap. Oh, yes. Sister Jackie has the nursery and kids class ages 6 to 12 with Sister Harper. Amen. God bless them. Boy, the praise team was just on fire. Somebody say amen. I will rejoice. I better leave that alone. That's an old school song there. Ooh. Man. That is a powerful song. We used to sing that back in Florida. Boy, I tell you what. When they sung that, you got ready to have church. It's good to have Sister Elizabeth with us today. Looking good, standing over there. Amen. Good to see Sister Mindy in the back. And amen, yeah. And Sister Becky, good to see you in there. Everybody else? Amen. Got a few folks out this morning, but God is good. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we think or ask. Well, if we could get the faith to believe that, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in Christ, our church by Christ Jesus, throughout the ages and the world without end. Everybody said amen. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And I'm going to talk for just a few minutes about God restore my faith. Because you know those disciples looked at Him and said, Lord, help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. And so we've had a great move of God, but God is not done. That's just the new norm, folks. We break it into another level. And don't get too comfortable in that level. We go on to another one after that. Amen. Amen. God bless you, Sister Dempsey. Thank you. Thank you for the tea that my wife brought to me yesterday. I'm going to start drinking that. God is good. You may be seated. Anybody know what a precedent is? Or precedent? Not a president. A precedent is defined as a parallel case from the past. And when you speak of a precedent, you're speaking of a matter regarding the past. This is similar to the matter that maybe you're currently facing. And you look back over your shoulder and you find a subject or a case that has precedent. It's something that we actually use a whole lot more than we think. Because most everything that is done has a precedent that has been set. We do things that way and we do it that way because we know that it works. You've seen other people do it this way and it worked. And so you know that it'll work for you. It's like people that battle cancer, and when you deal with chemo or radiation, there's been a precedent that has been set in the past that it has worked more than not. And so because of that, there's a precedent that is set, and we often still try things like that. You go to work Monday through Friday because there's a precedent that if you work Monday through Friday, pay me. You're going to get some money. And so, you know, it's a good precedent because we all need money. It's good to keep your hygiene clean, keep your teeth brushed, because there's a precedent that you'll probably have more friends in life, people that want to talk to you. Come on, somebody. So we operate from the standpoint of life, from precedent more than we think. We look back to find a parallel case or something similar to what we're dealing with. You find how people dealt with it. You see what works, and you establish some knowledge from that, and that knowledge is called precedent. Doctors look for precedent because they're wanting to treat a medical condition, and so they will look, and they will find somebody in the past that has had that same medical condition, and find people that it worked for. And so they will, because a precedent has been set, and this particular disease was diagnosed and it was cured with this particular drug. There is a precedent that has been set. Somebody say amen. Amen. That we know what the outcome will be. Lawyers often look for it in the legal sense or in the legal field. They look for a legal precedent or perhaps a case that they can present to the judge and say, well, judge, in September 15th, 2004, there was this particular case. It was the so-and-so versus the state of so-and-so. And in that case, the judge ruled this way. And they look for commonality that they can take it and use it in their current case. In fact, pastors will look for precedent often in dealing with situations. They'll immediately go through their file cabinet in their mind trying to find some place in the past where maybe they had a sense of encouragement or a word that fits somebody going through a situation or some particular issue in their life, and that God brought them through. And we'll say, hey, God brought them through. Well, then God can bring you through. And so it seems that God advocates the use of precedent. The Scripture tells us that there was war in heaven, and the Bible says that the devil and his angels fought against Michael, the archangel, and the other angels, and there was a great war that ensued, and the angels of the Lord overcame them. The Bible says, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Anybody in here got a testimony? I would imagine, by the way y'all were shouting and clapping a while ago, that there's got to be some testimonies that when you look back over your shoulder, you say, boy, I tell you what, God healed me back then. God filled me with the Holy Ghost back then. Boy, God pulled us out of trouble back then. Anybody in here got a testimony this morning that God lifted you out of the miry clay and that God put your feet on a rock to stay and God put a song down in your heart that you could sing? I think all of us have a precedent or a testimony that we can look back on and say, boy, I tell you, God gave me victory in that situation, and God gave me authority to come out of that situation. And I think that all of us have that. The writer of Hebrews chapter 11, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, everybody shout faith. We understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, and Enoch was translated that he should not see death. And by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen, he moved with fear and he prepared an ark to the saving of his house. You better be preparing something that's going to save your house, men. Now without faith, it's impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Abraham went looking for a city, and he went looking for a city that had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And through faith, Sarah also herself received strength and conceived seed, and she brought forth a son. Skipping down to verse 23, by faith, Moses, everybody shout Moses. When he was born, he was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandments. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. I wish I had time to tell you this morning about Deborah, about Gideon, about Barak and about Samson, who through fate subdued kingdoms and through fate turned the flight of the armies and the aliens, who fate stopped the violence of the fire, and who through fate did all of these wonderful things. Wherefore, seeing that we are so compassed about with such a great cloud of precedent or witnesses, that I could say that there are men and women that have blazed this trail long before we got here, that have already established what God can do. They've already, in their testimony and experience and witness, have given us a cloud of witnesses that are beckoning unto us about the power and the majesty of God. And the writer would say, now let us lay aside every weight, and let us lay aside every sin that doeth so easily beset us, and let us run this race with patience that is before us. Can I tell you this morning what the writer was saying? The writer was saying that if you ever end up in a lion's den, don't you worry about it. You just find you somewhere to rest your head. I got a precedent from a guy by the name of Daniel who went down in the lion's den. And guess what? God brought him up the next morning. If you ever get into a place where you're in a fiery furnace, don't despair. I got precedent here where there were three Hebrew boys who went into a fiery furnace. And guess what God did? He didn't get them out of the furnace, but God got in the furnace with them. Because sometimes God pulls you out of the mess, but sometimes God steps in the mess with you and He walks it out. And the man, the king, said, there's another one that's in the fire. There's a fourth man that looks like the Son of God. So if you're walking through a fiery trial this morning, I got precedent that God will step in there with you. You're not by yourself. You're not walking through it alone. But I got one that holds my hand. Can I get a witness from somebody? Woo, He'll show up in the midnight hour like He did for Paul and Silas. He'll show up when the storm tosses the ship to and fro. Can I tell you that God is a very present help in the time of trouble? And if you've got a little trouble in your life, boy, you're a great candidate for God this morning. All He wants you to do is call His name and reach out to Him and stretch your faith. And if He showed up for them, oh my word, He'll show up for you. I wish you believed what I was preaching this morning. If He'll get into trouble with them, why wouldn't He get into trouble with us? Woo, give Him a hand clap of praise. David needed armor. Saul gave him his armor. And David said, no, I don't think I want to wear your armor. He said, that armor don't have a precedent. That armor's not been tested. He put it on. He kind of said, yeah, I don't really feel like me. I don't fit right. But David, praise be unto God, he knew what deliverance was. And David said, I think I'll just trust in what I know that's already worked in the past. He says, I can tell you there was a time that a lion came up to get one of the lambs. And I tell you what I did. I got my sling and I got my stone. And I went after that lion and I got that lion. He said, there was another time a bear came up. Hey, let me tell you what I did to that bear. I got my sling, I got my stone, and when you walk into my house, I got a big old bear rug laying right there. Come on, somebody. He said, you think I'm fixing to let this uncircumcised Philistine into my hands? He says, I've got a precedent that God will deliver me. And David went on to say, he said, the Lord is my light. He is my salvation. Of whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When my enemies and my foes, come on, dig in right here. When my enemies and my foes came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and they failed. I'm telling you, God is a very present help in the time of trouble. If God be for us, who shall be against us? David is actually describing a day. There was a day his enemies came about him. There was a day that they circled David and his heart was pounding with fear. But the Bible says they stumbled and they fell. And David had a precedent, and he went on to say, he said, though if war should rise against me, my heart shall not be troubled. He said, though they should encamp against me, I have in this precedent that I will be confident, and one thing that I have desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple all the days of my life. Let me tell you something. There's a beautiness. There's a beauty in the house of the Lord. I stepped out a few minutes during worship, and when I opened that back door and you stand at the back and you watch everybody up here worshiping and you see hands up and you see people responding to the Spirit, there is something beautiful about people worshiping God. There is something wonderful about people pouring their heart out, and God poured His heart back into us. Clap your hands to the Lord this morning. We've got to understand this morning that God is all powerful. God is omnipotent, and God is omniscient and omnipresent, and He hung the earth on nothing, Job said, and stretched out the north over the empty place. Our God is a God that binds waters in His garment. He is a God that steals the winds and the waves. They obey Him. Our God is just a God. He is a powerful God that speaks the world in order. Our God, there is nobody like our God. Can I tell you? There is nobody like the God that we serve. He sanctions and He makes directives and He makes them right. Nobody corners God up and sits Him in a desk and instructs Him and counsels Him. There's nobody equal to Him. Nobody superior to Him. There is one God, Paul said, and the Father of all, who's above all, through all, and in us all. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and one mediator between God. God, the man that is in Christ Jesus. And Paul went on to say that in Him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and we are complete in Him who is the head of all principalities and powers. I'll say that again. He is the head of all principalities and powers. Everything in this world is under His feet. Everything in this world is under His power. You don't have a problem that God can't fix. You don't have trouble that He can't step into. You don't have sickness that God can't heal. You don't have a prodigal that God can't turn around. You don't have financial trouble that God can't help you fix. I wish I had a witness from somebody in here. God, restore my faith to believe that You are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ever think or ask. Clap your hands to Him. He is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, the first, the last, with the root, the branch, the rose, and the lily. He's Father, He's Son, He's Holy Ghost. He's God all by Himself. I am the Lord. And beside me, as Bishop Jakes used to do, there is no other. I did it by myself, alone, just me. He went on to say that my own arm brought salvation. When I needed salvation to humanity, I used my own arm to bring it. Come on, somebody. Whew, I'm telling you, He's powerful. And we have precedent in this book that God can do it. Prophet Isaiah would go to Hezekiah's house. He'd tell Hezekiah, he said, get your house in order. This ain't the kind of visit from a prophet you want. Old Testament prophets, that's how they came. When they knew one was coming to town, their knees knocked. It wasn't good. The prophets now give you a new car and a check in the mail, and a lot different today. I like the ones today much better, to be honest with you. Told Hezekiah, he said, get your house in order. He said, God's fixing to take your life. You're going to die. And the Bible says when Isaiah left, that Hezekiah set his face to the wall. He pleaded and he cried to God, just like any one of us would have done. You'd have did the same thing. I would imagine most of us probably aren't afraid to die. It's just you ain't ready to die now. Right? And Isaiah had left, and he was walking away, walking down the sidewalk, and left his house, and God spoke to him. He said, you go back and tell him I'll give him 15 more years. You tell him I have heard his cry, and I've seen his tears. He went back to Hezekiah. He said, Hezekiah, he said, I don't know what you did, but you changed the heart of God. He said, God's going to give you 15 more years. Thank the Lord. And the Bible says Isaiah went back and he told him, he said, this will be the confirmation that you will know. He said that God will tinker with the sun. He's going to mess with the calendar just a little bit. And Hezekiah said, I can believe that. He said, I know that. I accept that. I believe that's exactly what it'll do. He said, I believe that in good faith because he had a precedent. Where in the book of Joshua, God had done that before. So Hezekiah, when he heard that, he said, well, I know God can do that. Joshua was in a battle and the sun was setting and they just needed a few more hours to win. He prayed to God. He said, God, we just need a few more hours. Can you work with me? And Joshua, the Bible says, Joshua had never known anything about successfully stopping the sun. But you know what? He believed that God was able. So Hezekiah had something to go on. Joshua didn't have nothing. Catch that now. It's different if God's done it already. But what if he's never done it? And Joshua looked up there and he commanded the sun to stand still. Moon, you stop what you're doing. And Hezekiah had great faith, but it was precedented faith. But Joshua had unprecedented faith. Because it had never been done before. Let me just stop right here and pause and just give you a brief, description of where I'm headed. Just because God's never done it before, don't mean he can't do it. Now some of y'all didn't get it. Just because God's never done it before, you may have no record, no witness, no testimony, no account that God's ever done it before, but that don't mean God can't do it. Don't you put God in a box and limit his power and authority and put bounds to his supernatural glory. Don't you do that. God can do it anything when he wants to do it. The Bible says that by faith, that little ark was constructed by the mother of Moses. She had heard that an ark in the past had saved a family. She knew, Brother Dempsey, there was saving power in an ark. So she put a little ark together and she put little Moses in that ark. And she let him down that Nile River with all those crocodiles, all them alligators. Oh, they probably got piranhas over there. Tell them what they got over there. But you know what? None of that mattered because the providence of God was weaving it through the bushes. And it just so happened that Pharaoh's daughter was down at the river washing. And you know what? She just believed. She said, you know what? I got a precedent that if God saved people, a family in an ark that Noah built, he'll save my little boy. Sometimes the best thing you can do with your kids is just put them in an ark. And just put them in the hands of God. And just let them go and let them live on and just trust God with the process. Sometimes when we keep trying to bail them out and we keep trying to get them on the right path and we keep trying to straighten them out, sometimes, and I've been, parenting's one of the hardest things there is. You folks got little kids? Okay. Buckle your seatbelt. Because when they get 13, 14, 15, 16, whoo, Jesus. They just hit a period where they go crazy. And sometimes all of your effort to fix them hurts. It doesn't help. And sometimes the best thing you can do is what Miriam did. Just put them in that ark. And just let God take care of them. Come on, somebody. But you know what? She had seen what God could do. She had heard of the power of God. She had heard of it. But you know what? Noah had never heard of it. He was building an ark, and there was no precedent. It had never rained. They didn't know what a boat was. And Noah went out there and built that ark. He got one word from God to build the ark, and he got the dimensions. And God did not speak to him from that moment until it rained. And I've found that's about how God is. He just talks when he wants, and it's not a lot. He's supposed to talk to God every day, and he's talking back and forth. Hey, he don't do that to me. He told Noah, build the ark. Here's the dimensions. I'm gone. And it was a long time. I'm sure there were some rough days for Noah when he walked out there with his hands blistered and sawdust on the floor, cut boards everywhere, half-built boat going, God, it ain't never rained. These people are laughing at me. They don't even know what a boat is. But boy, just because God's never done it, don't mean God can't do it. And if God said it's going to rain one day in the future, Noah, you better keep building. You better keep preparing. You better keep doing. You better have faith in what I said, because one day somebody's going to say, what was that drop that hit me? What is this falling out of the sky? Because God keeps his word. Can I get a witness from somebody? It's one thing to have a precedent that God has done it. But now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever think or ask. Just because you've never heard God do it don't mean God can't do it. Just because you've never seen God do it don't mean that God can't do it. Just because nobody's ever been healed of that disease, it don't mean that God can't do it. Just because somebody hasn't never been brought out of that lifestyle, it don't mean that God can't do it. Just because somebody has fallen so deep into sin, it don't mean that he can't reach down to the uttermost. Matters not what you believe, God can do it. Without it ever being done before, he is able. He said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. But we shall be changed in a moment, the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. The trump shall sound, the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. The mortal shall take on immortality. The corruption shall take on incorruption. Then shall be brought the pass, saying, O death, where is your victory? Where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, who has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved POPC, men and women in this house, you be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For this we say by the word of God, then which those are alive and remain shall not prevent them that sleep. For the Lord himself, not an angel, not Gabriel, not a messenger, but the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then which are alive and remain shall be caught up in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we forever. And so shall we forever. I'm getting ready for a wedding garment and a wedding party. I'm working on my garment. We got a wedding party we got to go to. You better get your garment out. You better get your garment out. There's a celebration coming in another world. Get too comfortable down here. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we could all be gone. The Bible tells us about this because there was a precedent that had already been set. Peter raised Dorcas from the dead. So we already know we got a resurrection coming. Jesus said, destroy this body in 3 days and I'll raise it up. Jesus was speaking of his body. But the Bible says when he was buried, that news rang abroad and spread everywhere. And everyone was talking about this Jesus of Nazareth. And Peter and John raced to the tomb and they were amazed that he had rose from the dead. So We already got precedent, friends. Let me tell you something. There is more proof that he came, died, and rose from the dead than George Washington was our first president of this country. And if he came the first time, I got to believe everything he said about coming the second time is real. There's more scriptures about his second coming than there was the first coming. If he came the first time, I have to believe he's coming back for a bride that has made herself ready, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Give him a hand clap. This wasn't the first time they had incurred the resurrection from the dead. They had precedent. They had witnesses. He walked into the house of Jairus. You know the story. And Jairus walked up to him. He said, Master, I need you to come to my house. My daughter is sick. You know the story. And Jesus said, well, we'll go to your house. No problem. And so they're going to the house of Jairus, and he's thronged by the crowd. And he's bumping around, and everybody's pushing and shoving. And you know, Jairus is thinking, man, we're wasting time here. We got to go. Got somebody sick. And so he's right in the middle of this, and somebody comes to Jairus in the process. Watch this. He says, listen, it's too late. Your daughter's dead. She just passed away. For all these people bumping into us, we could have probably got there a little quicker. I guess in that day they were stuck in traffic. He said, don't trouble the master any longer. And the reason they said that is because according to the law, him being a rabbi, he couldn't put his hands on a dead corpse. He couldn't have any dealings with a dead corpse. And Jairus knew the law. So it's at this point futile to think that he could go to his house and do anything with it. And so Darius, his hopes are dashed, walking away with his head down. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he's getting ready to go home, and Jesus is walking. And Jesus stops. He says, who touched me? Peter said, Lord, you got folks all over you. He said, no, somebody got a hold of me. And Jairus is sitting there watching. And it was this little girl, and she said, I've had an issue of blood all these years. I've spent all my money on doctors. Aren't you glad when doctors don't know what to do, we got a healer in the house? Woo! And if he healed then, he can heal now. And he said, I've been touched all over. She's a little girl. She said, I've had this issue of blood. And Jesus told her, he said, you go your way. Your faith has made you whole. And Jairus is sitting around. Now you got to understand, the law also said he couldn't touch or have anything to do with a woman that was on her blood. And Jairus looked around and he said, hold on now. If he can override the law for her, hold on now. I was going to head on to the house and go bury my daughter. But if you can override the law for her, you can override the law for me. Come on. You come into my house. Woo! I'm telling you, if he can override the law for them, he can override the law for us this morning. It don't matter what it says. God's above the law. God can do what he wants to do. My God, I feel like preaching this morning. Jairus grabbed him and took him on, and they walked up on the porch and they laughed at him. They mocked him. He said, oh, the child's just back there sleeping. They laughed at him. They said, oh, no, you don't even know what you're talking about. He went in there and raised the girl up from the dead. She was just sleeping. He had already sent the word. She had already come back to life. Let me tell you something, just because it's never been done, just because we don't have a precedent that God did it in the past, I don't have to have any witnesses or evidence or a testimony that God did it yesterday or back in the Old Testament. If God wants to, God can do it today. He can do what he's never done. I read stuff online about, well, if this disease is incurable. There ain't nothing incurable. God can do anything. They don't have an answer for this. God's got an answer for it. Oh, you know the story where the widow was going to bury her son at the funeral procession. And he reaches over and he just touches the casket. The boy gets up. God can do anything. He set a precedent that there will be a resurrection from the dead. He told Lazarus, he said, Lazarus, you come forth. Oh, Lord, he's been in the grave 3 or 4 days. Perfect. He said, this will be for a greater glory. He said, I am the resurrection and I am the life. He said, he that comes to me, though yet he were dead, he lives. And so when Jesus shows up, the resurrection shows up. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all. I hope your faith is beginning to soar a little bit in here. I don't know what you're dealing with this morning. I don't know what kind of problem you got going on, but I want you to know God can do it. And I'm setting us up for next week. You don't want to miss next week. We're going to have a healing, deliverance, whatever you need service in this house with Bishop J.B. Sims. Come on, somebody. God told the prophet, he said, Zeke, can these bones live? I don't know. I'm looking at a valley of dry bones. Prophesy to them. Boy, that's something God tell you to preach to something that's dead. We think if it's dead, it's over. Just be honest. You got to preach to stuff in your life that you think can't never live again. You got to go home and preach to that dead marriage. You got to go home and preach to it. You got to preach to it. You got to stand there and preach to it and say, live. And then he told him, he said, you prophesy to the winds. And the Bible says that valley of dry bones got flesh and sinew on them. And they begin to stand up and God caused a mighty army to come up. Somebody say amen. But this wasn't the first time. There was another time in Scripture they needed a grave. And so they dug up the grave to the prophet Elisha. And they took the dead soldier, you know the story. And they threw him on top of the bones of the prophet. And that old dead heart began to beat when it touched the bones of Elisha. And his old dead lungs began to breathe. And them old dead eyes began to started to open up. Because God can do it. Whew, you know what these stories are in here for? They're not just taking up pages. It's precedent to let you know, no matter how bad you think it is, it ain't bad enough that God can't step in. That old dead corpse came to life, but that wasn't the first time Elisha had done that. Elisha had already brought somebody back from the dead. You know the story when he laid across the son of the Shulamite woman that was in the field one day and said, my head, my head, my head, and he died. And that was the woman that couldn't have a kid. And Elisha had passed through town and told her, you'd have a son. She said, don't you mess with me now. You go back and read it. I preached on that story before for Mother's Day. She said, I've wanted a child my whole life. And don't be coming here telling me some nonsense. He said, you're going to have a child. And you know what? When that child died, she told her husband, you go find that preacher. And you know what Elijah did? He laid on that boy and that boy came back to life. But that ain't the only time, because his pastor, Elijah, you know, laid across the son of the widow of Zarephath, and he came back to life. But the one that gets me is Abraham. When he told him, he said, Abraham, he said, I want you to take now thy son, thy only son. Take the son that you love and get to Mount Moriah. Find one of the mountains that I'll show thee there and offer your son as a sacrifice. And it's amazing, Abraham shows no reluctance. He doesn't balk. He's not hesitant. He's not apprehension. He had nothing. He just gets up and does it. In fact, the Jews believe this separated him and Sarah. It's caused a divorce between them. She couldn't ride with him on this. Abe, that's just a little too much. And the reason why they believe that is because when Sarah died, in the book of Genesis, I just read it doing our devotional reading. It says that he had to travel to the cave of Machpelah to bury his wife. And so the insinuation is that they weren't together. My wife would probably leave me over that. I got to take these kids up here and put them on a mountain and kill them. But Abraham didn't have precedent. He took Isaac up there to the mountain. All the servants said, where are you going? He said, we're going to worship. He said, we'll be back. Isaac looked around and he said, Dad, he said, where's the sacrifice? He said, the Lord will provide himself a sacrifice. They get up there and he lays the wood and ties Isaac to the altar. He's got the knives ready. Of course, you know the story. He's fixing to plunge the knife through his son. What a horrible scene that is. Everybody's like, poor Abraham. I'm thinking, what about poor Isaac? I'd have been like, Dad, what are you doing? What do you mean? I'm timing out of Isaac, probably scarred for life, you know. And all of a sudden, he hears something just rustling, and he sees a ram caught in the thicket. And the scripture says, for now I know Abraham. That was the angel that said that. God already knew. God knows everything. God wasn't waiting around to see what Abraham would do. God knows what he was going to do. But the angel said, for now I know that you will not withhold thy only son and will do anything that the Lord asks you to do. And it's interesting because Abraham didn't have a precedent on that. But I believe that when he was up there, Brother Brown, he saw Calvary. He saw in a glimpse what God would do for all of us. That there was coming a sacrifice at Calvary that would cure the sin nature for the whole world. That would redeem a bride for him. And you know, when you think about this, not only was he going to kill him, but the Lord told him, he said, you bring him up there for a burnt sacrifice. So he wasn't just going to plunge the knife through him. Once he got done killing him, he was going to set it on fire. But the writer of Hebrews, thousands of years later, gives us this powerful verse. And he says, because Abraham by faith accounted that God was able to raise Isaac even from the dead. Maybe this is why he is the father of faith. Because Abraham believed, Brother Wilson, that if he had cooked him down to just a little handful of ashes, God was able to take a handful of ashes and bring him back to life. I'm preaching to somebody right now. And it matters not what others say or what you think. It matters what God says. And it matters what God can do. And it matters little if it's been done in the past. What matters is that God can do whatever He wants. God, restore my faith to believe in the supernatural. God, restore my faith that next week there's going to be miracles, signs, healings, and wonders in this house. Somebody say amen. Amen. Abraham had no precedent or no past experience or had no prior testimony based upon his expectation. He just believed God. Anybody in here just believe? God, my belief is strong right now. Well, preacher, that can never be fixed. My belief says it can be fixed. Preacher, that can never be restored. My faith is telling me it can be restored. Preacher, that's never going to be like it was. Oh, it's going to be better than it was. Can I get a witness from somebody? They'll never get off pills or addiction. Yeah, they will. My faith is telling me they will. Oh, they're never coming out of that horrific lifestyle. Oh, you don't know my God. You don't know my God. Well, nobody's ever come out that far. Oh, you don't know my God. Not only are they going to come out, they're going to come out and get them a wife or get them a husband and live a normal life. Somebody say amen. Because no matter what people think, God can do it. Would you stand all over this house? He told Thomas, he said, Thomas, you stick your fingers in the scars in my hand. And Thomas stuck them in there and he said, now I believe. But he said, oh, the blessing for those that don't have to have to see the scars and don't have to touch my hands, those that will choose to believe when they don't have the evidence that it's me. Oh, I choose to believe him this morning. All over this house, why don't we just lift our hands to him as they get a selection of music. Oh, I love him this morning. Oh, he's good. Come on, let your faith rise in this house. Don't think the way it's always been is the way it's always going to be. Don't think that you just have to settle and it be today the way it's always been. Don't you limit God. Let your faith expand in this house. You let it stretch to the north, the south, the east, and the west. You spread it over this sanctuary. And the God that was the God of Elijah and Elisha, He'll be our God this morning. The God that done miracles through them, He's saying, I still do miracles today. Woo, Jesus. I need somebody to step out and just respond to the word of the Lord. Let your faith be mingled right now. Let your faith be mingled with what has been said. Oh, it's going to happen. And I'm telling you, God is going to be glorified. He's going to be glorified. Oh, He's going to be exalted in the house of God. Woo, Jesus. Tired of the devil pushing on us. Tired of him buffeting us. Tired of him rubbing up against our families. Sit down where you belong. Get your hands off God's people. Come on, if you want prayer, we'll pray for you. If you've got an issue you're dealing with, we'll pray about that issue. If you just need a touch of God, then this, you're in the right place. We can get a touch of God. Matters little if it's ever been done. God is able.
They say this mountain can't be moved. They say these chains will never break. They haven't seen what you can do. There is power in your name. We've heard that there is no way through. We've heard the tide will never change. They haven't seen what you can do. There is
sing it out. Come on, God said it.
It is done.
Come on, God said it.
You said,
I believe.
You said,
it is done.
God said it.